chapter number 14. Acts 14. This month we're going over faith. In January we went over commitment and what it means to commit. It's easier to commit to Christ when I know who I am in Christ. In January we really looked at my identity in Christ, how Christ views me, how Christ accepts me. And I looked through this world, for lack of better words, through how he views me. I don't love myself. I don't seek love from others. I accept Christ's unconditional love for me because I'm his, right? And so the more and more I begin to reflect and go over who I am in Christ, the more and more my behavior reflects my true identity. So we looked a lot about that in last month in January. Now we're talking about faith, where our faith comes from. Last week we looked about the object of our faith being Jesus. And since Christ is in us, it's less about having faith in like an unknown result wanting to happen. So I believe this will happen. It's less about that, and it's more about I believe in the one who is in me to perform his will through my life. Does that make sense? So my mind shifts from having faith that this will happen or that will happen, the circumstance will change, and it totally changes to my faith is a person, and no matter what circumstance comes my way, it does not change how I react, because I understand what's happening. Romans chapter 5, a tribulation will come to where my faith produces patience, hope, and hope's not ashamed. So I know why circumstances come to me. Once I understand faith in Christ, I don't look to avoid tough life circumstances. I don't pray for tough circumstances to go away. I actually encourage them to come. It's the opposite. All right? Today we're going to look at faith in a different sense on, well, we'll get into it, I'll explain from there. So go to Acts chapter 14, and let's look at verse number 19. Acts 14, 19. Then some Jews from Antioch and Iconium came there and persuaded the crowds. They stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing he was dead. But as the disciples gathered around him, he arose up and went to the city. The next day he departed with Barnabas for Derbe. When they had preached the gospel to that city, and had many disciples, they returned to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch, strengthening the minds of disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, to go through many afflictions, and thus enter to the kingdom of God. When they had appointed elders for them in every church, with prayer and fasting, they commanded them to the Lord, and in whom they believed. Then they passed throughout Pisidia and came to Pamphylia, and when they had preached the word in Perga, they went down into Attalia. From there they sailed to Antioch, where they had been commended to the grace of God for the work which they had completed. So we see right here in Acts, here's Paul. He's on his first missionary journey, right? We call it his first missionary journey. He's traveling through different areas. It's the first time. It's taken about 14 years, I think, to actually get the gospel of these areas. They spent the first 10 to 14 years mainly in Jerusalem and to the Jewish nation there in that area before they actually head out in Acts 13 to the Gentile nations, okay? And even at that, when they're on this missionary journey, if you will, or presenting Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, even that going to other areas, they usually always start in a synagogue, which is Jewish, right? A synagogue is where Jews come. Now, when I say Jews, I'm not just referring to people born from the nation of Israel, Jewish proselytes. So they're Gentiles by birth, but they're accepting the God of the nation of Israel, right? They're allowed to go into the synagogue and hear the teachings from the synagogue. The synagogue is not a temple. There's no sacrifices being done. It's a place where people come to learn mainly about prophetic messages of a Messiah coming. It's a lot about David, a lot about a Messiah coming, a lot about a king coming, a lot about looking forward to hope, 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 hope in synagogues. Okay? So here's Paul. He's traveling out. Now, you would think that as he and Barnabas and his, you know, gang of buddies, when they come into a synagogue and they preach that the Messiah has come and the nation of Israel killed him, but don't worry, it's okay. He rose again 3 days later and he's offering salvation to all who call on his name to be saved. You would think that since there was a lot of hope going on in the synagogues, that everybody would be like, absolutely, we'll take it. But that wasn't the case. You see, when you preach a message of hope to someone, many times it doesn't work the same to everyone because one person's open to receiving hope, the other person is not open to receiving it. You know what I mean? Their heart's hardened. They're going through the motions of wanting to receive something or look forward to something. But man, they are, if I don't see it, I won't believe it. There's the other group that says, I'm looking forward to this truth. And now that I heard it has come true, and he has ultimate verses to back it up, I believe and I receive. And the lives are changed, just like yours. When you receive Christ as your Savior, your life changed instantaneously. Instantaneously. Paul is here. Going to these cities and different areas, different regions, preaching the gospel, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. When he comes to this area in particular, they did not like it, and so they drug him out outside the town, and they stoned him to death. Their goal in stoning Paul was to kill him. That was the intent. Well, it wasn't a warning shot. It wasn't, hey, you know, we're going to just kind of go easy on you. The purpose of the stoning was to kill him. And there he is laying outside the town, and his buddies around him are thinking, holy smokes, he's dead. They supposed he was dead. Now he gets up, brushes the dust off his body, and goes to the next town and preaches the same gospel that got him stoned. Same gospel that got him stoned and killed. That, you know, tried to kill him. They preach the gospel there. They have many disciples. So not everyone, and don't believe this for you today. There are a bunch of naysayers in America right now saying, well, no one wants to hear the gospel. Do not believe it for a second. Because those that say no one wants to hear, they're not themselves telling people about Jesus. Well, I've heard and I've read and I've... But have you actually talked to someone? Well, it's one person, so you're basing it off of one person. Many were disciples there at this time. They taught them. Now they're backtracking to come back to Antioch, the headquarters of the Christian faith. They're backtracking now, and as they're backtracking, going to the same towns that they had success, people being saved, and yet a lot of bad, tough circumstances, some trials, people wanting to stone them, people, the crowds being raised up to cause harm to them. They're going back to those cities and establishing and teaching those believers to continue in the faith. The faith of Jesus Christ being the Messiah, dying and resurrecting. That's the faith. The faith isn't a person. That's the object. To continue in them, knowing that as you believe the truth of Jesus, your faith that we're telling you to continue in, you will suffer tribulation for it. Now, think about this for a second. If anybody, at any point, following Jesus, if anybody at any point had a reason to say, you know what, this is just not working out for me, it was Paul. After being stoned, he could have wiped that dust off his body and went, this faith in Jesus stuff has gone too far, I'm out. I don't know about you guys, but I don't want to live a life like this. You know, it's interesting. Everyone listens to this radio program. It's called WIIFM. WIIFM. What does that stand for? What's in it for me? What's in it for me? And if we're not mature believers in Christ, we start dialing it to what's in it for me? Paul could have said, this is not for me. Knowing, we'll go over some verses in a second, knowing the command Jesus gave him 14 years prior or thereabouts, saying, listen, I am going to send you to the Gentiles. And you're going to tell them about me. You're going to deliver them from the power of darkness. You're going to be the person that's actually going to preach about the church. Not Peter. Paul talked about the church. The mystery of the church. Paul brought that out. I'm going to have all these great things for you to do through my name. He could have said, you know what? That sounded good at the time. I was pumped up. I was jacked up. I was encouraged. I was ready to go. But you know what? After now going through it and feeling by experience what this is like, my faith, I'm done, Lord. Now, Paul, at that moment, wouldn't have said, I don't believe in Jesus anymore, right? He's not leaving his faith as far as leaving the person of Christ. He is just not going to continue in the faith. But he doesn't do that. He gets up, wipes it off, and says, let's go. Probably with a broken arm. Come on, guys. Follow me. This way. Where are we going, Paul? Next town. What? They need Jesus. All right. His followers with Paul could have said, that could have been me. I did not experience what Paul went through, but seeing what he went through is evidence enough for me to say, continuing in that faith is not for me. It's not for me, man. Hey, it was fun seeing people saved. It was fun baptizing people, although Paul, you didn't do it, you had me do it. It was fun being a part of this group, but now that we're having this happen to us, you know what? That could have been me. WIIFM. That's not it. What's in it for me? I don't want that. I'm out. I'm not going to not believe in Jesus anymore. Obviously, I believe in Jesus. I'm not leaving Jesus, believing in Jesus' faith. I'm just not going to continue in the faith. I'm leaving the faith. I'm leaving continuing in the faith. That's what I'm leaving. But he didn't do that. So much. He's continuing on here in Acts chapter 14, verse 22, strengthening the minds of the disciples and exhorting them. That means coming alongside them. And many of you here today have this gift. Many of you are really good at coming alongside someone and encouraging them to continue. Thank God for you guys and gals. Strengthen the minds of the disciples and exhort them to continue in the faith, to go through Bible promise. Now remember, when the Bible gives a promise, it doesn't start with, now this is a Bible promise. To go through many afflictions and thus into the kingdom of God. So they know that what Paul went through, if I continue in the faith that he has brought to me through Jesus, yes, he is encouraging me. Yes, he is motivating me. Yes, he's bringing me up. But if I continue in this, I am going to go through afflictions. And that's how I'm going to enter God's kingdom. It's through that. Now, if you were to hear that, listen. As you continue in Jesus and the truths of Jesus, which, by the way, most of the teachings of Christ that you receive today don't come from Christ himself in the Gospels. The teachings of Christ come through you, through Paul, through 1st, 2nd Peter, through James. Because they're listening to Jesus, to teach
the followers of Christ what to do. When Christ came in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, his teachings are to a totally different group under a different time, fulfilling a different purpose. Make sense? So when we say the teachings of Christ, it's what Paul was taught by Jesus. Those teachings of Christ, which you won't find very many of what Paul taught in the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Not a contradiction. Different group of people. Different time. Different circumstances. He's telling them, you're going to go through this and enter into God's kingdom through these. Now, at that time, these disciples could have said, now that I know this, I'm out. I thought it might just be a phase. No, you're going to go through tough circumstances too. Really? Yeah, because this is how your area is. They wouldn't have stopped believing in the person of Jesus. These people here could have said, you know what? No, thank you. I'm not going to continue in the faith. But you know what happened as they continue on? Verse 23, and when they had appointed elders for them in every church with prayer and fasting, they commended them to the Lord in whom they believed. They said, no, we're in. We're in so much, we need some leadership here. We're in so much that we need to start being established. We're in so much, we need people to be appointed. We're in so much that we need some authority here. That's how much we're in. Notice how Paul is telling them, we prayed and fasted to the Lord in whom they believed. They chose in their will to say, just like the children of Israel, back in Exodus 20, yes, God, we want you to be our God. That same will, the Holy Spirit being in them, saying, hey, you're going to go through tough times before you get into God's kingdom. You know what? Bring it on. Matter of fact, bring it on so much, we need people here to teach us. We need some elders. We need some leaders here. Can you imagine how Paul and Barnabas and that group must have felt? You got it, man. You ladies want some leadership here? Absolutely. Let's pray and fast about that. You got it. They could have left their faith. Now they're passing through, verse 24, different cities. They're doing the same thing, backtracking, okay, going down. And verse 26, from there they sailed to Antioch, where they had committed to the grace of God for the work which they had completed. 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 Do you know what it takes for a person to be a completer? If you're going to complete something, number one, you have to do what?
Persistence.
You have to what? You have to start. You got to start, number one. They started, believers in Christ in this area. And this is coming up to Barry's point. As they start and as they're gathering more information about their faith, about who this Jesus is, about what it means to them to have Christ in them, the hope of glory, about how they're going to have an inheritance, about how they're going to get a new glorified body, about how Christ is going to take them up into heaven and be with them for the Lord forever, about all these great things, I will never leave you nor forsake you, about how your assurance, Holy Ghost is in you, you're a child of God, all these great things. They're told all this information. While they're getting all the good news, all the great truths about who they are in Christ, they're also being told, here conditionally, you're going to go through tough times because of the one who is in you. You can be a good person. You can be a good employee. You can be a great boss. You can be a great dad, mom, husband, fill in the blank. But you know what? Since this person's in you and you're following them, they're going to hate you. They're trying to destroy you. Can you handle that? They said, yes, so much, I won't be one elders. As they're backtracking, Paul and his followers throughout this whole process could have said, you know what? Every single town we go to, it's joy and then depression and then joy and then trial and then joy and then heartache and then joy and then being stoned. You know what? I can't take this anymore. It was good for about 2 years, but you know what? I'm done. To complete, to Barry's point, you got to be persistent. And to be persistent, you have to know, number one, your purpose. And we spent all of January going over that. My purpose is to glorify the Lord in what I think about, look at, say, and do. That's my purpose. My purpose is to, 2 Corinthians 5:21, live for him who died for me. Just in your behavior, just in being kind, fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, faith, temperance, coming to a body of believers to edify and build and exhort. That's your purpose. To tell others about the greatest news of all time. Jesus Christ dying on a cross, raising 3 days later. The best news that the world can hear. That's my purpose. And that purpose, as you do that, you are going to go through tough times. You will be a great employee because that's who you are in Christ. See, in me, the real me in Christ is merciful, graceful, kind. The real me inside of me helps, is helpful, is a good employee, is a good mom, is a good dad, is a good husband, is a good fill-in-the-blank, good wife. That's the real person in me because it's Christ in me. Doesn't mean that those around me are going to love my faith. He who is in me, faith. Not what I look forward to come to pass, faith. No, the Jesus faith in me. Not everyone's going to like that. So you need to know, hey, I'm believing in a person that no matter what comes my way, it's not going to hinder me. Yes, as an analogy, and it's a bad one, but when I get stoned, not physically, but when I get hit down, right? When someone at work doesn't like me, when I get hurt, my kids walk away from me, am I going to say, you know what? Forget this faith. Not stopping believing in Jesus. I'm going to stop continuing. Is there a circumstance that's going to come at you to where you think, I will serve the Lord up until this point? If you have that in your mind, it's going to happen. It's going to get tested. But if you say, there is nothing, because I'm living for the Lord today, as if today is my last day. Today is my last day. I got to start my faith, continuing in the faith. I got to be persistent through every circumstance. Then, when it's all said and done, which is either the rapture or you die, you can complete your work. The work is not completed until God tells you it is. Not when you say, you know what? I've done this for 20 years. I'm done. No, 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 no. The longer you are involved in a ministry, the longer you're involved in maturing in Christ, the more people you mentor, the more responsibility you have. So gray hair doesn't mean you can take it easy. Gray hair means you're going to work harder. Yep. Not physically, per se. Not physically. But you have so much experience and knowledge and wisdom. You better believe guys like me and guys like Dennis are going to put you in front of people to say, hey, here's what I've learned in my X, and I'll say it as X, X amount of years of following Christ. That is more precious than any Bible college degree. Your experience in your walk with Christ. Absolutely. And the older and older you get, the more persistent you get, the more closer you get to completing your work, the more and more valuable you are to the next generation. Not, hey, man, I'm good to go. Nope. More work. It'll be lighter work. You can sit down and tell people about your walk with the Lord. You can have people serve you coffee and different things. But it's the heart that we're after. It's the heart and your heart with the Lord that we want. Let's stand for our next song before we go now. So we see here how Paul, Barnabas, and other believers are encouraging people to continue in the faith of Jesus, of Christ. And along with that's going to come some tough circumstances. Now, there are things that Paul had taught these believers that they said, you know what? We're sold. We're in. Absolutely. I want us to think for a second just on some temporal things that we own. Let's think about the clothes I buy, the shoes, the boots, the accessories of clothing, the cars I buy, the tools that I have, the house that I'm in. Let's think about those for a second. The laundry soap, laundry detergent, the food I buy. What is it about those products that I value to spend money on? What is it about those products that I'm sold on? Let's think about it for a second. How many of you think, well, I've just always bought this? I've just done it for years. I've always bought this type of soap. I've always bought this kind of car. My parents bought this kind of stuff. So therefore, I was raised this way. Therefore, I continue on buying the things I was raised with. If that's you, raise your hand. Okay, some of us, yeah. Yep. All right, let's think about this. What was it about those products that convinced me to buy them? And there's no wrong answer. Nothing wrong. What convinced me to buy these items, these tires, these tools? What do you guys think? Let's do some good.
Health reactions.
Health reactions, right? Health reactions, absolutely. Yep, for my health. Or bad things that happen to it. Good, Bob.
The need.
The need, right? The need for it.
The quality of it.
Quality, yep. How do you know the quality of a product?
Whether it does what it says it's going to do.
Right? So if I want to do that, I have to either A, buy it first, right? So go to step one. What prompted me to buy this product to test to see if it was good or not?
Reviews.
Excellent. Someone else told me about it, right? Someone else. So people telling me validate a product. Therefore, it encourages me to want to buy it. What else?
Well, our experience of using it in the past.
Experience, right? Just I've always used it. I bought it one time, and I never looked back. It worked, and it continues to work, and it hasn't changed. Therefore, I continue to do it. Excellent. Love it. What else?
Value,
right? Value. And that's subjective. It's perceived value. This is what's valuable to me, right? What convinced me to buy the house that I bought right now? What convinced me to buy that house? The river? The scenery, right? Absolutely. Yeah.
My wife.
Your wife. Yeah, absolutely. Yep. Absolutely.
Good answer.
You have to say that, too.
Well, the
price was low, right? Yeah, perceived value. It was a great deal. We bought it. All this exercise is to do is our minds are constantly placing value on something, right? It's constantly going over a I am sold or I'm not sold mentality. I'm sold or I'm not sold. A lot of it's through references, absolutely. I mean, most of the time, Barna did a research study, this was years ago, I think in the mid-90s, on those that stay at a church have 7 friends that are there. People that stay at a church have 7 contacts. They would say, these are my friends. So that church is very outgoing, right? They're very outgoing. Overall. Now, that's just the overall statistic. So when I think about what's selling me on the car that I bought, what's selling me? Let me do one more real quick, just for fun. Have you ever had a product of any kind and then switched? I switched companies. Same product, maybe, shampoo, but I switched companies. Do you know why? What did you see, or what was it that made you switch? What do you guys think?
It would be a hope for a different outcome.
Hope for a different outcome? Mm-hmm. Better price?
Thicker hair.
Thicker hair, there you go. Right? So, marketing.
Negative reviews,
yep, be a part of a marketing.
Experience,
yep.
Stop working,
yep. So it stops, bad quality, right? So I'm gonna, hey, used to do it, now it doesn't. So this exercise that I wanted to do in our subconscious, I think many of us view God that way.
We view God this way sometimes, or Jesus. I had a perceived value of Jesus, but then when the perceived product outcome I was hoping it would give me didn't work, I stopped. Many of us, not us here, many people in America, Christians in America, have a kind of a skewed idea of the product Jesus is providing. So a lot of times we talk about, this is what Jesus has done for me. This is what Christ has done for me. And so now people are comparing themselves with you. Well, God did that for me. Instead of, this is what I do for Jesus. This is what I allow Christ to do through me. Whether I get something for it or not. Now, follow what I'm saying for a second. I'm not saying don't brag about Jesus. I'm not saying don't share what Christ has done in your life. I'm not saying that. Let's be mindful on what we're selling people Jesus does. Because that might not work for them. If your family member was healed from cancer, praise God. But be careful how I share with someone. Because if they don't get that same result, it's now God's fault. Well, no. I marketed God the wrong way. I sales-pitched God the wrong way. Not even trying to. But there are several books and people that are Christians in America that are result-oriented about Jesus. There's a perceived idea or thought about what Christ is going to provide outside of salvation, my position, going to heaven, comfort. Sometimes we can skip over, as American Christians, no, your faith is going to go through trials. Your faith, you're going to have tough circumstances come your way, and it's no more, I don't know why God's doing this, and it's absolutely, I know why God is. I know why God is. Romans 5, Romans 8. I know. There's things that I need to add to my faith, virtue, knowledge, wisdom, in 1 Peter. Okay, my faith is going to be tried like a refiner's fire going through gold. If I know that the fire or trial I'm going through is going to produce a better Christian for Christ, I should walk that trial with open arms saying, yes, please. I should be like Paul and wipe the dust off my garment and say, next town, please. Because what I just went through now only confirms how great Christ is. Amen. It only confirms that. The trial, the tribulation that I go through does not confirm how bad I have it, how much God doesn't like me, why would God do that? A loving God, negative, negative, negative. That's Satan. He is the accuser. If God, would he, would God, would he? Doubt, 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 doubt. And as soon as Peter is walking on the water, I saw the storm and began to doubt. What happened? Started to sink, right? Things were going great. So I was looking at Christ. So there are things in this world that I have no problem saying yes to. I'm sold on. I fork out tons of money. Because I'm sold on the product. Those don't understand what I'm saying. This is kind of going sideways on me for a second in my head. I'm not saying give more money to church. I'm not saying give more money. I'm just saying we have no problem living for or buying a product because of the evidence I've seen it provide. And many times, Christians can look at the evidence and go, well, God didn't do that for me, or I don't have that. And we start looking at God like a shampoo product or a house or a car and go, it's not doing what it's supposed to be doing. No, you have a wrong idea of what Christ is doing in your life. He's conforming you to his image, not your image. He wants you to think, what am I to do here in the Father's will for him? Not, this is what I'm supposed to get. Why aren't you giving me? Why don't I have this? Why don't I have that? And now we start comparing ourselves to people going, well, I need to have more faith then. No, it's not. You can't have more faith. It's yielding to the truths that you know. It's yielding more, giving up more, saying yes, regardless of what trial I'm going through. Does that make sense what I'm saying today? You guys, am I making sense? Faith, the object is Jesus. Paul knew his calling. He knew that faith needed an image, so he used the image of a shield to quench all the fire darts of the devil. Okay, all the lies. Okay, quench fire darts, Ephesians chapter 6. He used faith as a breastplate in Thessalonica. And that faith in Thessalonica is, I'm looking forward to being with Christ, therefore I'm gonna have faith. I'm gonna continue in the faith. It's guarding my core. The shield, that faith was, no matter what Satan tries to do to me here, I'm blocking it. Nope. And my faith, my Jesus here, helmet of salvation, I know who I am, I know how God views me, I know how he accepts me, I know my significance, my value in Christ. Therefore, no matter what is said to me, here's my faith. Nope. My shield is Jesus. It's the same typology in the Old Testament as God being their rock or their refuge, right? So am I living a life that shows Christ as a product that truly glorifies him? Am I displaying in my behavior who I really am? Or am I getting lost in anger, wrath, malice, bitterness, anger, envy, strife? Am I getting lost in the flesh and I'm stepping outside of who I am in Christ? I'm not continuing in my faith if I'm being envious, if I'm being angry, if I'm being upset. If I'm anxious, if I'm worried, I'm not continuing in my faith. You can't live in both worlds. Continuing in the faith is, I'm going to continue trusting in Christ, what he gives the believers in Christ, New Testament, regardless of what I see happening around me. And my speech is going to back up my thought process. Right? You and I, we live out the truth that we believe to be true. You live out physically what you believe to be true. Now, you can try and convince yourself by saying things, I believe this, I believe this. That's called a propositional statement, a propositional truth. I believe, I believe, I believe. You got to go through perspective, procedure, to participatory, for people to actually believe, no, this is true to them. Propositional statement over here, I believe, I believe, I believe. Okay. People, myself included, are looking at, how are you living your life? That's what you believe. Now, we've got to be kind and graceful and merciful to young believers in Christ. Because they, as a young believer in Christ, don't know everything given to them, right? They don't know. They're young. That's why we have the gift of teaching. That's why we have different gifts is to help build up those young believers. So we're all conformed to the unity of Christ. Is my faith, is my Jesus, everything the Bible teaches that he is? What Jesus am I showing? What product am I giving out? So much I'm willing to invest in it, like a house, a car, insurance, retirement, clothes, products. Am I willing to invest in the Jesus I believe in? Time, study, people? Or is it just a thought? And I'll leave my faith I'm not stopping believing in Jesus, but I'll leave continuing my faith because it's uncomfortable. I don't have time. I don't like. It's inconvenient. Say all those excuses to Paul when he's standing up, brushing dust off his body, going to the next town. Can you imagine being a 21st century Christian in America complaining to Paul about why they're not serving Jesus? Why don't you live for God? Paul, let me tell you something, okay? See my cell phone? Oh. You know, I got my emails, I got my job, I got my kids, I got my grandkids, I got sports, I got this, I got that. As he stands up and does this. Gotcha. Those people are the ones that Christ talks about in the Old Testament, in Matthew, to the nation of Israel, when he says, no man's fit for the kingdom. That kingdom is the millennial kingdom, kingdom of heaven. No person's fit for that kingdom that puts their hand to the plow and looks back at what they're missing out on. They're supposed to be focused on the work and enjoying the work they're doing. Yes, 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 yes. But this person, not fit. Same person in the church who wants everything God provides without providing anything to God. See, Christ dying on the cross shows how much he loves us. Me fulfilling 2 Corinthians, now I'm to serve the one who died for me, me serving Jesus, or allowing him to be served through me as I yield my obedience, shows how much I love him. My comparison's with my Savior, not with other people in church. I'll do more than them, I'll do more than them, I'll do more than them. It's not about them, it's about him. And yielding to him under any circumstance that you go through for his glory. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for being good to us today. So grateful and thankful, Lord, for Jesus Christ. Lord, as we look at our faith being Christ and through his teachings, allow our hearts and minds to just be obedient to your word. Father, I know all of us here are on different phases of our walk. It's not about right and wrong or good and bad, but about just yielding to the truths that you reveal to us. Father, I know that today there are people that are getting some guidance and direction from you. Your children right now, this is your church, these are your people. You're moving them as I speak and pray to you right now. And I ask they would say yes to it. I ask they would follow through. And I ask that no matter what circumstance comes their way, they would continue through it so that just like Paul in Acts 14, they completed their work. Well, I know all of us in here want to be obedient all the way to completion. Allow us, Lord, to continue on and to acknowledge those truths you're bringing to our heart right now, that we may conform that much more to your image for your honor and your glory. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.